Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson. It's that time of year when television advertising and the Super Bowl take center stage. Super Bowl ads represent the biggest and most expensive advertising time a business can buy. But for many companies, without that kind of budget, year-round TV ads and online video advertising is an important part of their messaging and reaching customers. Today, we're joined by Daniel Sattelmeyer, Creative Director for BarkBark. Based in Atlanta, BarkBark is a leading studio helping brands do just that, deliver their message. Daniel, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Will. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you, and we've got a lot to talk about, so we'll jump right in. We've come a long way from traditional 30 or 60-second TV spots, although those still exist very much. But I want to talk to you about that kind of advertising and when it makes sense. Tell us about the work you're doing at BarkBark, how you work with clients to decide what kind of content that they should focus on and where it should end up. Branded content, I know, is the term we hear a lot about these days, right?
Yes, we certainly hear that term thrown around a lot. And I think you're right. You know, when you talk about traditional 30 and 60 second TV spots, that model is kind of falling apart. But let's sort of back up a little bit and just talk about how we got there to begin with, because I think it's important. You know, when TV was first popularized and, you know, starting way back in the 20s, 30s, up to the 50s, branded content and video advertising was really just brands funding entire shows. You know, there was the Standard Hour and the Texaco Star Theater, which was funded by Big Oil, you know, really from the 20s to the 50s. In fact, soap operas were called that because the original ones were funded by soap companies like P&G. So, you know, that model worked really well through the 50s, you know, just really capitalizing on entire programs until TV just exploded. And I think, you know, the price of content or the price to produce content became much more expensive. You know, so a single brand couldn't really fund a show anymore. And in addition to that, broadcasters sort of started taking this magazine newspaper approach where they separated the ads from the content and letting everyone buy time around that, which is sort of what we see today.
And so that's interesting, though, to stop you. Like, if you look back in time, branded content was kind of an early form of advertising for many big brands. It's not necessarily like a new thing. It's just been adapted with technology.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting. It's kind of come full circle. And I think by the end of this piece, you'll see that it's interesting to sort of trace the path and where it's gone to. But, you know, getting back to your original question, today, you know, what we really do and the opportunity that we've honed in on is, you know, branded entertainment or branded content has become more affordable for brands now with cost of production coming down. And I think, you know, brands can produce content advertising shows themselves in many different ways. And, you know, there's sort of three big things that we like to help clients focus on, no matter how large or small they are. You know, for us, it's really about audience alignment with your ad buy, which really means doing the research and knowing who your audience is and where they are. Contextual relevance for that ad, meaning that you're not just making a random ad and putting it everywhere, but that you're really fitting that ad to the program and the audience that you're trying to reach and what they like and what they, you know, want to see. And then this is very important for us, and I think everyone, is authenticity. And that's really just not trying too hard. I think we've seen a lot of failures, and not naming any names, but really big companies, you know, sort of failing with ads where they just get away from that authentic message and they try to be something they're not. And, you know, so what we really do is we work with clients, and our clients are really big networks like HGTV, TLC, FX, AMC, all the ones that you watch, big brands and their agencies, to solve their marketing goals by finding out where their audiences align and how we reach them authentically and naturally where they are.
And because it's true that, I mean, a lot of major advertisers can spend a lot of money and it goes either in the wrong place.
Exactly.
Although hopefully that's not happening if they're working with you guys, or the message is just not aligned to the audience, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's a really missed opportunity. I mean, you're spending, you know, in some cases millions of dollars to make something that falls on deaf ears a lot of times.
So more about TV ads. So despite the explosion of advertising online and the ability to skip ads, which a lot of us do, TV ads still have an impact. Can a small or medium-sized business craft a strong TV spot that can rise above the noise? How do you help them do that?
Absolutely. You know, and I, again, going back to what we were just talking about, I think identifying your audience and providing contextual relevance is key. It's all about, you know, I think we really have found that it's all about that first 3 seconds, you know, dwindling attention spans, everything that everyone's talking about. Viewers decide immediately if this is going to be something that they want to watch. I think we're all guilty of that, me included. You know, time is precious. The internet is a shining and infinite universe of rabbit holes and places you can go. You know, I think chances are today, you know, viewers are watching TV with a smartphone or a tablet in their hand. They're browsing the internet at the same time. They're probably doing, you know, we've gotten really good at multitasking. So, you know, I think it's really about working into the content that they're already watching to capture their attention, to make it seem like you're very much in the know, that you get who they are, that you get what they want, that you get what they want, and that, you know, you're really in tune with them. And I think viewers really, we found, and, you know, a lot of success in our work has found that viewers really appreciate that. So let's go for an example. Let's say you're a car dealership. Instead of just making your one generic come on down commercial like you've always done, you know, just spend a little time to get to know your audience a little bit, do a little research, maybe, I don't know, ask your customers what their favorite shows are when they come in. And, you know, let's say the vast majority of your customers watch The Voice on NBC. Your strategy maybe next year could be, you know, making a spot for your dealership that aligns with that programming and airs even during episodes of The Voice on NBC. And, you know, of course, don't quote me on this because I'm just spitballing, but, you know, maybe your creative could be some sort of candid, hidden camera kind of voice singing competition where people that are in your dealership come in and you surprise them with a sort of singing competition and the winner gets a car.
So again, you're really thinking about where the ad is ending up.
Exactly.
And even what's around it. And then along the same lines, or I guess to move this along, you don't have to just create that one spot. I mean, you could have a longer one, a shorter one, but then you're also thinking about different distribution points too, right?
Exactly. So, you know, let's say you make one version of that could air on a certain network that appeals to muscle car buffs. Then you add, you know, how you have another version of the commercial that airs on kid-friendly stations and moms, you know, if you want to push minivans and bigger SUVs, you know, and I think you could make a younger, hipper version for that target that you're going after. So yeah, it's all about targeting the right audience with your message and getting the most for your money, I think.
And so let's keep talking about online ads because that's so huge these days. Certainly shorter ads, 15-second, even 5-second ads. I know we all love those, although maybe they don't get the recall that maybe an advertiser might hope for. But you tell us, what might work better in that space when you don't want to lose the interest of a captive viewer too?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up because I think, you know, a lot of people think that with these sort of shorter attention spans that, you know, everyone keeps preaching, it means let's make content shorter. And I think all that really means is that you just have to capture that attention quicker. Sure, you've got to hook them. But what we've found, and what I think a lot of, you know, big companies have found, is that we have this really amazing opportunity with online ads to not be constrained by the, you know, the time limits of traditional TV. We don't have to squeeze into 30 and cram an entire message in a story and hope you're moved by it in 30 seconds, you know, with the super fast voiceover, which I'm, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with.
I'd be happy to do it. Yeah. No, go ahead.
Yeah. Let's do your best.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
but you know, we can actually amazingly let a story breathe, appeal to emotions, tell them a story they care about. And I think it really reflects the content that they want to watch. I mean, that's why Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and HBO are so successful with making these longer form, you know, series that people like. I think you're seeing that trend move into advertising too. You know, it's interesting, you know, even in Facebook's latest funding for Watch, you know, they're really pushing their partners to make their shows longer. They make their ad pieces longer. So, you know, we're really seeing the big players try to produce longer form quality content, which is a really welcome change. You know, someone else that we've worked with a lot is Upworthy, which is you know, really based on Facebook. And we've worked with them to do some branded content with Minute Maid and State Farm and some other really big agencies to great success. I mean, we're talking over 10 million views in the last few months through their sort of networks. And it's really because these stories resonate with viewers. And it's funny because when we first started working with them, they told us, you know, you really have to hit that 2 to 2 minute and 30 second mark. That's the sweet spot. And then they started testing them and doing research, and they were finding that actually the longer form pieces were actually playing even better.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to hear.
And let me jump ahead. So that is really interesting. Maybe we're not all like short attention span freaks, you know, that everyone says we are, that we actually, what we're looking for is good content. And we understand
exactly.
That if a brand is advertising, we're not being tricked or hoodwinked. We just like being entertained or learning something. What about, maybe share one of your favorite ad campaigns, how you went about developing the idea and creating the content.
Sure. Yeah. It's a tough choice. You know, I think if I had to hone in on one or two, there was a recent Orbitz campaign that we did, which was amazing. You know, we've done a lot of work with them over the years promoting their really deep relationship with the LGBT community. You know, we really like to embrace diversity and make sure that all factions of life are sort of represented. And, you know, they came back with us to sort of speak to that power of inclusion and diversity in travel. So we actually took a really fresh approach working with one of our branded series partners in Hazy Mills to make this original Broadway musical style song. It's very catchy, I promise. and choreographed this whole dance number in airport security line, which is, you know, one of the single worst places you could be in the travel process.
Yeah, sure.
To really, you know, bring some fun to it. So, you know, our strategy was really around tapping into talent with these big social media followings. We first got on board Randy Rainbow, which, if you haven't seen him, he has a, you know, amazing sort of online base of comedian, singer skills there. And we rounded that out with Margaret Cho, the fabulous Bianca Del Rio, and a couple other of the drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race where this would be airing. So this would, again, we went back to targeting the audience, figuring out where that was, and this was going to air on VH1 and Logo during RuPaul's Drag Race. So so that's sort of where we started. And the success was instant. It did help that this came out right around the time when a certain president, who won't be named, was enacting an immigration ban. So I think it's good timing for us, but I think consumers really latched on to this positive, inclusive messaging that welcomed everyone.
Yeah.
Sorry, that welcomed everyone at a time when everything seemed so divided. And it just really took off from there.
And it sounds like a fun one to work on as well.
Yes. Yeah, it was fun to be in a song and dance number in an airport security line. It was great.
And so let me wrap up by asking, and we've talked a little bit about this, but just a little bit more, what are some other advertising trends you're seeing today sort of shaping, changing the way video ad campaigns are produced? How have cutting the cord, DVR, skippable ads, online technologies impacted video advertising?
All the buzzwords, yes. You know, we're definitely
I tried to get them all in.
We're definitely seeing the digital players, you know, dive deeper into advertising. Entertainment platforms are, of course, ever increasing. Amazon Alexa is now an advertising platform, which is insane. Apple has a budget of, I don't know, I think like $1 billion next year to spend on content, you know, just barely below Netflix's $8 billion, you know, no short change there. But some interesting, you know, trends we're seeing specifically with Facebook is, you know, they're starting to air and make content that's being made available at different key points in the day. So, you know, we've seen them making a show where, let's say, you have characters that are going to a house party on Friday night. They're releasing that episode on Friday night at 10 or 11 when those things are happening. And let's say the same group of characters goes and gets brunch at 11 a.m. Saturday or Sunday morning. That episode is airing around brunch time on Saturday or Sunday. So I think
that's interesting. Yeah.
Really interesting. And I think it's what's really great is they're using that platform how it can be used versus TV. So, you know, Facebook, you can do that. You can sort of control that, and it's a really powerful way to make the audience feel connected to the show. Another thing we didn't touch on before, but that we're really seeing this push into full scripted series and these branded content series that are long. I think we did touch on it, that, you know, longer form content is very powerful. And, you know, sort of we touched on in the beginning, it's kind of coming full circle that in the 40s and 50s, you saw brands sort of sponsoring entire shows. And now that's coming back. Mm-hmm. So I think you're seeing.
Yeah, you did promise we'd come back to this. So you've brought us full circle.
Man of my word.
But that is interesting. Yeah. So full series, online or also say on Netflix or Amazon or mostly online.
Yeah. Well, online for sure, you know, where you can push it to your platforms, to your Facebook feed to your Instagram, right. your Instagram channel or whatever the kids are calling it these days. And really making sure, I think it's one of those, if you can't beat them, join them situations. You know, if going back to what you were saying about skipping your ads, if people are skipping your ads or people aren't paying attention to your 30-second spot, give them content that they want to watch. And it all goes back to, you know, audience alignment, contextual relevance, authenticity. If you give them the content and have a really light touch with your brand messaging, audiences are okay with that. And I think they will appreciate the effort that's been spent there.
And with online tracking and metrics, advertisers are able to see how their ads are performing and what's being skipped and when and where.
Yes, and I think that gives them an even more powerful tool than they've had with, you know, sort of on-air TV, not to knock Nielsen, but that only goes so far. And I think with online, you can just find out so much more and know so much more about who you're reaching. And I think that's very, very enticing for brands.
I have to correct myself, or at least clarify. I said, you know, is it just online, or is it also on Netflix or Amazon? But clearly, those are online platforms that a lot of us watch on our TV. But it's all coming together, right? And maybe at the end of the day, for the consumer, the viewer, it's actually not a bad thing if advertisers are putting a lot of money into really great content and then supporting content that we're seeing sort of an explosion of.
Yeah, honestly, hopefully, it's a win-win for everyone. You know, I think we've all gotten to the point where, like, you know, viewers are savvy. I'm savvy. You're savvy. Everyone knows when they're being sold to, and most people don't like it. So the more that you can be authentic and give them something that they watch, you know, people understand that that's sort of the cost of entry, that if you're going to watch a show, there's money that needs to have been spent to produce this. So as long as it's great and something they want to watch, I think they're okay with that. And, you know, we should mention, I think, you know, skipping ads is nothing new. I think, you know, people have always had the freedom to do that, even if you're walking away from your TV or closing your eyes or turning it off. So I don't think it's quite as dire as people think. But I think, like you touched on before, we just want to be entertained, inspired, and moved in some way. And if any content can do that, even an ad, we'll watch it.
Right, like the mute button was there before the ability to skip ads.
Exactly.
We
could always do
that. Or the trip to the kitchen. Yeah. All right. Good point. All right. Daniel Saddlemyer, creative director with BarkBark in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks so much for your time, and we really appreciate your thoughts. Good stuff.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And if you'd like to learn more about the work you're doing, it's BarkBark.com, right?
Yes, BarkBark.com. Check it out, and thanks for having me.
And if you'd like to learn more about the BBB, visit us at BBB.org. For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.